See, if what you do isn't being done by the grace of God, then what you're doing doesn't count with God. If who you are isn't because of grace, then what you are and who you are, God is not pleased with it because it wasn't by grace.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with pastor and author James Ford Jr., senior pastor of the Christ Babel Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you're with us. As today, we begin a message called What's So Amazing About Grace? And pastor, I think grace is one of those words that gets used a lot in the church, even gets used in society sometimes, but we don't always have the proper understanding or definition of what God's grace is. Yeah. What is the grace of
God?
Well,
I'll say it in the message, but the acronym I like is God's redemption at Christ's expense. Mm-hmm. Grace is when God gives us what we do not deserve. You know, the church that I pastor, and I've been there 37 years, was and still is a part of what's called Converge Worldwide.
Okay.
It used to be the Swedish Baptist Convention.
Hmm.
And I want you to know, I'm the first official black Swede.
I was going
to
say, you don't
Baptist
look like
General
the typical
Conference.
Swede.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm the first one.
Yeah.
Ask me why I'm the first one.
Why are you the first one?
Because I've had lutefisk. Now, you don't understand that, but lutefisk is a Swedish dish. Oh, you're familiar with it?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, Warren Magnuson, who was one of our presidents, he gave the definition of lutefisk. Here it is. The piece of cod that passeth all understanding.
Yes.
And I've had some. I smelled it before it was put in front of me.
And you still ate it after you smelled it?
You know, I had to eat it because of a brother named Rob Boyd, who I had given grits, and he didn't like them. And I said, Rob, you don't want to offend me, do you? And he ate grits. And so when they put the lutefisk in front of me, he looked at me and said, you don't want to offend me, do you?
Turnabout is fair play,
oh,
I guess.
Oh, man. Yeah. But anyway, I mentioned that because there was a song when we would go to convention that we would sing, and I really loved it. I think we had sung it when I was a student matriculating here at Moody, but here it is. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all my sin and shame. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all my sin. And then the chorus part, and man, I would bellow it out.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't sing, but I do make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Yeah.
But, you know, just singing about that grace, man, that God has given me what I do not deserve. And if you're listening, you need to understand, everything you have, everything you are, everything you want to be, it's by the grace of God. And I love it because in Titus chapter 2, grace is personified as the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hmm.
Mm. He's the grace of God.
Amen. Well, let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as we begin this message, What's So Amazing About Grace? Here is Pastor Ford.
Some of you heard that apocryphal story about the Lord's baseball team. See, the Lord's baseball team was playing the devil's baseball team. And it's the bottom of the ninth, and the score is 0-0. And the Lord's team is last at bat. And the Lord said, come here, Bo, that's my nickname. Let me show you something. I said, what you going to show me, Lord? He said, watch this. So he called his first batter up, and he called Love. So Satan wound up and pitched a fastball that was 450 miles an hour. And Love hit it and got on base with the first pitch. You want to know why? Because love never fails. Yeah. Yeah. And then God called his second pitch. He said, watch this, watch this. It gets gooder. So what's that, Lord? He said, faith. And the devil threw a screwball. And faith hit it. And advance Love to second base, and he got on first. You want to know why faith hit it? Because faith works with love. And then God said, watch this. He called godly wisdom up, and godly wisdom came to bat. And so the devil threw a fastball. Godly wisdom didn't swing at it. Ball one. Threw a curveball. Godly wisdom didn't swing at it. Ball two. threw another fastball. Godly wisdom didn't swing at it. Ball three. Finally, he threw a curveball. Godly wisdom didn't swing at ball four. And God said, did you see that? I said, yeah. He said, you know why that happened? Because godly wisdom never swings at what Satan throws. Finally, he said, let me call my home run hitter. This thing is done. It's going to be 4-0 our team. I said, it is, Lord. Who you calling? He said, I'm calling Grace. And Grace, when Grace came, he was a little spindly looking thing. Anybody ever been last picked whenever they was doing softball and all that kind of stuff? Anybody ever been last picked at basketball? They look at you and say, you don't know what you're doing, Bricks. And that's the way it was with Grace. When they looked at Grace, they just smiled like he can't do anything. He looks puny. And so all Satan's infield moved in. And then he threw a fastball, the fastest he could throw, 800 miles an hour, and bam, grand slam. Grace brought in love, faith, and wisdom. And I said, wow. And the Lord said, you know why that happened? I said, why, Lord? He said, you need to understand something. See, your love and your faith and your godly wisdom, it can get you on base. But only my grace can bring you home. That's a great story. Because that's a true story. Because we know that everything that God does for us, he does it because of grace. We just said on Wednesday night, once again, who can help me out? What's justice? When God gives us what we deserve. What's mercy? When God does not give us what we do deserve. What's grace? When God gives us, well, has anybody had any grace? Did anybody get grace this morning when you woke up and you were able to put your own clothes on and feed your own face? Were you able to walk under your own power, even if it was the cane? You know, it was grace. It was God's grace. Okay, everything God does for us, everything God does to us, everything that God does through us, the Bible says it's all by grace. Okay, I hate to get the Bible in this, but now a word from our sponsor. Let me just tell you, not exhaustively, what the Bible says. Titus 2, 11 through 13, we are sought by grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, we are saved by grace. Ephesians 1, 3, we are sons and daughters by grace. Galatians 1, 15, we're summoned by grace. 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10, the passage we're in, we're shaped by grace. 2 Corinthians 12, 9, we're sanctified by grace. Colossians 4, 16, we're spiritually gifted by grace. Colossians 4, 6, our speech is by grace. Hebrews 13, 19, our stimulated growth is by grace. 2 Timothy 2, 1, we are strengthened by grace. 2 Peter 3, 18, we serve by grace. Hebrews 13, 9, we're stabilized by grace. Hebrews 4, 16, we're sustained by grace. And so we, even when we come to prayer, it's because of grace. Let us then now come boldly to the throne of grace that we may find mercy and grace to help us. I'm going to preach like there's a whole church up in here. Amen. And so it's by grace. It's God's grace. See, if what you do isn't being done by the grace of God, then what you're doing doesn't count with God. If who you are isn't because of grace, then what you are and who you are, God is not pleased with it because it wasn't by grace. Have you ever wondered why we are proud of things of which we have no control? You say, what's that, Pastor Ford? We are proud of race. We are proud of place. We are proud of face, and we're proud of grace. And we had nothing to do with any of them. We have nothing to be proud about. Yeah, see, grace is when God does not give us what we deserve. You know something? Here's what we have to learn. Deserve is not a word in the dictionary of deity. In God's dictionary, we don't deserve. My mama said it this way. Mama would say, boy, you're going to bust hell wide open because you deserve to go to hell. And before I got saved, that was true. And when I got saved, one of the first things I did, I called my mama because you ought to, everybody have two births. You know what they are. Come on, somebody tell me real quick. Okay, never mind. I ain't got time. The first birth your mama tell you about and the second birth you tell your mama about. And so what I did was I called my mama and I said, mama, I'm saved. I know Jesus Christ. I got saved last night. And I told her all about my experience and everything. And I said, and guess what, Mama? She said, what? I said, and I ain't going to bust hell wide open no more. I'm on my way of the King's Highway. You heard that story? I like it. This story is a lady. She is rich, bro. And so she had her portrait done, and she paid about $10,000 for this portrait. And when it was unveiled, she looked at it, said, I don't want it. I ain't paying. He said, no. I painted you. It's you. It's the essence of who you are. I mean, I can only paint what I see. And she said, I ain't paying. He said, why? She said, because this painting doesn't do me justice. It doesn't do me justice. He said, lady, you don't need justice. You need mercy. Amen. You need mercy. And so when we look at this thing, God tells us in Titus chapter 2, now I'm going to hook a couple passages up for you, because in Titus chapter 2, it says, for the grace of God has appeared to all men. Now, what's he talking about, Brother Dobbs? Who is he talking about? All right. He's talking about Christ. Christ is the grace of God, because the Bible says the law came through Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. And so Christ is the grace of God to us, and we praise him for it. As a matter of fact, you know what he's doing right now? He's carrying a sign. You ever been downtown and see a sign, we'll work for food? He's carrying a sign that says, we'll work for grace. Amen.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Ford called What's So Amazing About Grace? And when we really stop and think and reflect on what grace is, boy, that word amazing fits so well, doesn't it? We're going to get back to this message from 1 Corinthians 15 in just a moment. But I know you may not always be able to listen to this program live on the radio. You don't have to miss Pastor Ford's teaching. A great way to listen on the go or kind of on demand is if you have the Moody Radio app. It's free, and not only can you listen to Treasure Truth, but other Moody-produced programs and streaming music stations. We'll link you to the app for both your Apple products and Android products when you come to treasuredtruthradio.org. Again, that's treasuredtruthradio.org. Back to the message. Here is Pastor Ford.
And so here it is. Here it is. In 1 Corinthians 15, I'm going to bring you to Bible study because I know you ain't coming on Wednesday, even though we're doing Romans 12, don't be a sometimey Christian. So it's the resurrection chapter in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go to our text. It's called the resurrection chapter. Why? Because it's all about the resurrection. And so here it is. Why focus on the resurrection? It's the capstone, the icing on the cake of the Christian faith. It's called metonymy. Say metonymy. Now, here's what I learned when I was in seminary. Metonymy is when you use a part of something for the whole. So the part stands for the whole. You may say, your smile, it stands for the whole person. You just don't see a big smile, you know, there's a person with it, but a part for the whole. So the resurrection is the icing on the cake for the gospel. Death, burial, resurrection. And so that's this chapter right here. In other words, this chapter tells us what that young lady found out when she went to the country for the first time to Granny's house. And she ate this big old chicken dinner, you know, and then she put the dishes away and she's getting ready to throw her fork away. And Granny says, say the fork. She says, say the fork. Why? Say the fork because I have some peach cobbler. See, baby, I want you to save your fork because the best is yet to come. And that's what this chapter is all about. The best is yet to come. That the Bible says in this chapter, mortals shall put on immortality. The perishable shall put on the imperishable. The natural shall put on the supernatural. The terrestrial shall put on the celestial. The earthly shall put on the heavenly. And you know me, I'm a teacher. And so I have to say, well, what does that mean? Listen to this. The mortal putting on immortality means no more death. The perishable putting on imperishable, no more corruption. The natural putting on the supernatural, no more impossibilities. The terrestrial putting on the celestial, no more boundaries. And the earthly earthly, putting on the heavenly, no more limitations there. You and I, no more death. This chapter teaches no more death, no more corruption, no more impossibility, no more boundaries, no more limitations. I'm waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ. I am not waiting for the undertaker. I'm waiting for the upper taker. You can put my body in burr oak. It really don't matter, because when he gives the shout, I'm going up. The dead in Christ shall rise, and then we who are alive shall be gathered together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You ought to give him some praise, and you ought to thank God that no matter how long you live, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, 110 years, oldest person in the world right now, I think is 119, but guess what? They're going to die. But I hope they know Jesus, because then their life just begins. Death is God's CTA to heaven. Amen. That's it. So he says, listen, beam me up, Scotty. So here it is. Here's what he's doing. And let me give you the outline for the chapter, and we'll walk our way to verse 10. And then I'll drop them. I'm not going to push them. In verses 1 through 4, he talks about the truth of the gospel. In verses 13 through 22, he talks about the triumph of the gospel. In verses 23 through 44, he talks about the transformation of the gospel. And in 45 through 58, he talks about the testimony of the gospel. Verse 10, you say, you didn't say anything about verse 10, because that's the one I'm going to share with you. That's the theme of the gospel. So the truth, the triumph, the transformation, the testimony. Let's focus our sermonic spotlight on that salient scripture verse 10. Let me read it again. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Wow. Here it is. He's saying, the Christian life from start to finish is by grace. Why is the Christian life lived by grace? Because here's what he's saying. Grace is not a way of living the Christian life. Grace is the only way to live the Christian life. Let's look at it. Let's clothe ourselves with this text. And three reasons why. Now watch this. Look at your text. All that I am, grace. All that I have, grace. All that I do, grace. You see that? Is it in your Bible or just in mine? Yeah, he's saying, listen, now we're going to start with the second grace. Why? Because, listen, he doesn't put it in order. He talks about sanctifying grace first, then justifying grace. Now watch this. Go back to the text. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Right now, we're being sanctified. We know our salvation has how many aspects to it? Three. What are they? Justification, sanctification, glorification. So justification happened in the past, sanctification is happening in the present, and glorification will happen in the future. All right? So he says he's digressing in the second grace. Notice, he says, which was bestowed upon me. He's going back to the past. So first you got sanctifying grace, then you got justifying grace and sustaining grace. So here it is. Let's start with this one. So he says, let me tell you that this grace that Jesus is, first thing it does, it saves me. It saves me. Listen to it. Once again, there's only one verse. He says, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. This is the grace that's for pardon. It's the grace of God in me. It's the grace that converts me. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. It says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is a gift of God, not a result of works, lest any man should boast. I mean, you hear it all the time, and we got a new young group called Milestone Ministry with millennials, and right now they're studying about how to witness to people. And you know there's only three kinds of believers, right? Only three kinds. Non-believers, real believers, and make-believers. That's it. And Paul's saying, I'm not a make-believer. Here's the problem. A lot of people have been pressed in starch, but they ain't never been washed. They're in church, but they're not in Christ. They're going to church, and like I said last night at the concert, and going to hell at the same time. Going to church makes you a Christian, like going into Mickey D's make you a Big Mac number one, supersize. It don't work that way. Like going into a garage makes you an automobile. It doesn't work that way. And so we know that being baptized under the water is not under the blood. So here's what he have. Notice how he starts off. Verse 1, you have the proclamation of the truth of the gospel. In verse 2, you have the purpose of the truth of the gospel. Verse 3a, you have the process of the truth of the gospel. Verses 3b and 4, you have the parameters of the gospel. You know, I was in Savannah, Georgia. What a beautiful, beautiful state Savannah, Georgia is. And I was in there. And I had just bought, you know, I was preaching for Pastor Kenny Grant, and I had just bought a brand new brown suit with a sharp brand new brown tie. I had on me some brand new brown Stacy Adams with some brand new Versace socks with a brand new Stacy Adams brown brim. You could tell me nothing. And so I'm getting dressed, Bro Junius. I get on the elevator, and I'm on the 14th floor. When I get to the 12th, these two people get on of the lighter hue, and they're young people. And they, you know, he's frisky, and I can say, I know they wasn't married because they was just too much on each other, you know. You know, the longer you married, the less you on each other. You come on, you walk in the restaurant, and you know who married. All you got to do is look around. If they holding hands and rubbing and all, you know, can't hardly eat from looking at, they ain't married. But they sitting there eating their food and really focused on it, ain't talking to each other. They been married a long time. And so I'm on the elevator. He gets on. I'm standing here, just the three of us. And I hear her say, don't you dare. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. And he said, I don't mean no harm. You know me. You know me. And I'm saying to myself, okay, now he better be careful because I ain't always been saved. He said, excuse me, sir. And I said, yes, young man. What can I do for you? He said, are you famous? I said, well, no, I'm not famous. Why would you ask? He said, because you look expensive.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford, and a message called What's So Amazing About Grace comes from 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to continue this next time of the broadcast. If you know you can't be by your radio, you can come to our website right now and sign up to begin podcasting the program. It's a great way to make sure that you don't miss a future broadcast. Just come to treasuretruthradio.org. You know, Pastor, I know that probably almost on a daily basis, we have people who are finding this radio program. They are beginning to listen. They appreciate the Bible teaching. They may not really understand how this program is produced and how we're able to get it on the air each and every day.
Right, because it is a listener-supported program. They may not know that. I received a letter from someone who was just trolling through their radio and hit Moody Radio, and my voice attracted them. And they said they listened. This has been a couple years ago, and they've been listening for a few years. Well, they had sent in a donation. They let me know. I sent in a donation to the program, something I've never done before. And I thought, wow, that's really amazing. Yeah. And even when I was working with Share, had a couple people call in and say, I've never given before, but I'm being ministered to, and I'm so grateful now to be a part of the Moody ministry.
Well, if you're a new listener, maybe you've just been listening for a couple of years now, and it's just never dawned on you that this is a listener-supported ministry, that is how this program is able to stay on the air each and every day. Production costs, airtime, all the things that happen behind the scenes, it's all made possible because of your generosity. You can give a gift right now by coming to treasuretruthradio.org and clicking on the donate button. Well, thanks for listening. Treasure Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.